Join us in standing and turning in our Bibles to Colossians chapter 2. And thank you for worshiping today. The Bible says that he seeketh a true worshiper, and they worship him in spirit and in truth. And so I greet you tonight in Jesus' name. Why don't you turn to somebody next to you, give them a fist bump, tell them it's good to see you in the house of the Lord. Ask them if they brought their Bibles to Bible study. Tonight's Bible study. Don't be shy. They should know better, being around here long enough, if they brought their Bibles. Don't be shy. Don't be afraid. You get extra credit for asking them if they brought your Bible, and you get double credit if you brought your Bible to the house of God. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
And reading from Colossians 2, from verses 6 to the 8, and the word of the Lord says, "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving." Notice this. Beware. Somebody say beware.
Beware.
"Lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ." The New Living Translation of verse 8 says, "Don't let anyone capture you with empty philosophies and high-sounding nonsense that come from human thinking and from the spiritual powers of this world rather than from Christ."
Hallelujah.
He goes on to say, "Let your roots grow down into him and let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in truth and you will overflow with thanksgiving." I want to talk to you tonight on this thought. Very simple. Alive in Christ. Alive in Christ. Can you just lift your voices to the Lord? I know you got your Bibles in your hands, but let's lift our voices tonight. Come on. The Lord has given me something to minister to us about tonight. I need the help of the Holy Ghost. Just begin to lift your voices to the Lord. Come on, we can do better than that. There's a whole lot of us in here that know how to pray. Just begin to lift your voices. Come on, RT, just begin to lift your voices. We need the help of the Holy Ghost tonight, oh God. Let your glory fill this place and let our hearts be open, receptive to receive your word. In Jesus' name, let the church say,
amen.
Let the church say,
amen.
Amen. God bless you as you're seated in the presence of the Lord. Colossians, for those of you that are taking notes, Colossians, the book title that we're reading from comes from the name of the city of Colossus. It was and is in Southwest Asia Minor, where this church was located, which would be today what we would identify as modern-day Turkey. The Apostle Paul identifies himself as the author. In fact, it's in Colossians 1 and 1. The scripture says, "Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God." And he writes in verse 2, "To the saints..." I'm in Colossians 1 and 2. "And to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." This letter was written, and the intention of this letter was that once it was read to the faithful saints in Colossae, it would be circulated to the neighboring town or the next town of Laodicea. And in chapter 4 and verse 16 of our scripture setting or book, it says that when this epistle is read among you, cause that it to be read also in the church of the Laodiceans. And so when we understand that this church, the majority of it was a Gentile church, they weren't all Jewish Christians, they were Gentiles. And Paul, he stands flat-footed and he declares and reaffirms to us the incarnation of Jesus Christ as the one true living God. In fact, it's in Colossians 2 and 9, he emphasizes again, "For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." And I like this next part. "And you are complete in him," verse 10, which says, "which we are that which is the head of all principality." Somebody say all.
All.
"And all power." Somebody say all.
All.
And we need to ensure, and some of this is going to is going to sound redundant, but I need to lay a foundation. We need to ensure that we are growing in our relationship with the Lord, And furthermore than that, that we are alive in our relationship with the Lord.
Yes.
Spiritual growth is what we should be striving for. There needs to be growth when we are in a relationship with the Lord. We ought not to look back at our relationship with the Lord and be in the exact same spot as we were when we first got saved. That is not growth. That's not a good thing. In fact, James 1 and 21 tells us that wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. All you naughty people need to lay that down and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul. Now, I don't have time tonight to talk about what grafting means and engrafting stuff, but it's the putting together of the word of God so that it could save our souls. It's the another rendition, the New Living Translation, tells us in James 1 and 21, hear this, accept the word God has planted in your hearts, for it has the power to save your souls. And then James goes on to tell us, and I'll just say this for good measure, just because it's good truth. Don't be hearers of the word, but be doers of the word. There's a lot of hearing that takes place, but we can't just be, well, I hear you. We got to be doers of the word of God. If we are not rooted in Christ, then nothing else matters. Nothing else is going to work if you're not rooted to Christ. Now, I know that tonight, that we can, I could try to say this a thousand different ways, but we have to make sure that our anchor or our foundation is a relationship with the Lord for ourselves. Now it's I understand that I'm the pastor of this church, and for some of you I'm your favorite preacher. But it shouldn't matter if Pastor Pinero is preaching or teaching. We ought to come to the house of God and say, I don't care who's bringing the word of the Lord. I'm coming to the house of God. I was glad when they said unto me, let's go to the house of the Lord. Can I get a witness this evening? You may have an unhealthy foundation or root system if your relationship with the Lord is solely predicated on if Pastor Pinero is preaching or teaching. I should do the majority of the preaching. I should preach 80, 90% of the time. But a healthy church has other ministers and ministry team and other speakers. The fivefold. I'm a pastor. I'm not an evangelist. I'm not a prophet. I teach at times. I'm not an apostle. We need the healthy fivefold ministry to work together. But we also need one another. There's other people that God has allowed me to teach, to train, to develop, to teach, and under my spiritual authority so that we can grow as a church. Come on, somebody. And I would like to just throw out there that next Wednesday, somebody say next Wednesday, our next Starting Point class is going to begin. And if you have not gone through Starting Point, I encourage you, you need to sign up. This will help you get rooted to the Word of God. Somebody say amen. Because we want to be alive in Christ. Jesus on the inside. Working on the outside. Oh, what a change in my life. We want to do what the psalmist says in Psalm 92 and 13. Notice this. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. Somebody say alive in Christ.
Alive in Christ.
We've got to follow the scriptures if we're going to be alive in Christ. We've got to be doers of the word of God. When something is rooted, when we are rooted or we are anchored or we have a foundation of the word of God with the apostolic doctrine and Pentecostal experience and holiness and lifestyle, we are rooted to this. This means that we are stable. We're stabilized. We are fixed. We're firmly implanted. That doesn't mean that you're not going to wobble or have highs and lows and ups and downs and things get a little bit shaky, but your root system and the foundation is not going to crack because you are firmly rooted on the word of God. Ephesians 3 and 17 tells us, notice this, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love. Listen, there's always going to be people, the scripture tells us, that think they found a shortcut with the relationship with the Lord.
Uh-oh.
A better way. Maybe a justified excuse or this is my favorite, the Lord knows my heart syndrome. They obviously haven't read their Bible when the Bible talks about the heart, right? Because the heart is desperately wicked and deceptive, and your heart will mislead you. But the Word of God is sure and it's true, and heaven and earth will pass away, but God's Word will never pass away. And so when Colossians 2 and 8 tells us to not let anyone capture you with empty philosophies and high-sounding nonsense that come from human thinking and from spiritual powers of this world rather than from Christ. Listen, let me tell you that what you are, when you are anchored to a relationship with the Lord, you don't need a better way.
Amen.
Jesus said, I am the way. Come on, somebody.
Right.
When you're anchored and you are alive in Christ, you're not looking for justifiable excuses. You're not looking for, well, what can I get away with? And who doesn't find out? And don't say nothing. And well, if nobody finds out, then maybe I still can. It's not about if anybody finds out. It's about what God knows.
Amen.
Come on, somebody. Scripture tells us in Colossians 2 and 7, or 2 and 8, 2 and 6, walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith. We do what we do because we are in relationship with the Lord. We are alive in Christ because we are actively pursuing heaven. We are in, and I've used this before, but I'm going to use it again tonight. We have got to get to the mindset, especially in these last days, that we are spiritually invested in the kingdom.
Amen.
Anybody have a 401k that you put money, hopefully you do, you're putting money aside, right? Or some kind of retirement plan. You are invested in that for the future, for the long haul. You're going to drive yourself crazy if you look at it every day or every week. I don't recommend that. Brother Drozik may have a different opinion, but I don't recommend that, especially right now. You're going to drive yourself crazy if every day you're looking at your retirement, your 401k, and say, oh, man, you're going to go crazy. But you're vested for the long haul. You've got a roadmap in 20 years, in 30 years, in 40 years. When Jesus comes, whenever that is, that I'm invested in the kingdom. My eyes are not on Sister Julie or Brother Marquez. My eyes are on Jesus. I'm invested in the kingdom. If she doesn't want to be a worshiper, I'm going to worship. If he doesn't want to worship, I'm going to worship. Because I'm alive in Christ. I'm a worshiper. Whether there's a good song or a bad song, I'm a worshiper. Because I'm vested in the kingdom. I'm rooted in Christ. Somebody say, I'm alive in Christ. When you're alive in Christ, it's not a power hour Sunday. It's, I'm a stick of dynamite. Don't get too close to me because I can blow up at any time with the power of the Holy Ghost. Come on, somebody. We need preaching. And we need teaching. Because our faith gets tired. Anybody's faith get tired? Get tested? It even gets low. But when we're rooted and built in Christ, it's the hearing of the Word of God that increases our faith. It's like you go out of town and you have plants that there's no plant sitters maybe that you're having come to your house to water your plants. And so you get home and your plants are a little bit, droopy. And you put water on them. And in a couple days, they're back alive. And sometimes it's the same thing for us spiritually. There's a lot that takes place between Sunday and Wednesday. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
And so that's why your faith gets tested. It gets tried. Your faith level sometimes goes down. But when you get into the house of God or you hear some preaching and some teaching, your faith gets stirred and it gets challenged and your faith level begins to go up. That's why Paul writes in Romans 10 and 17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The reason why some of you are low on faith and running low on spiritual strength is because you're not hearing the word of God, the word of God consistently. Oh, I'm coming for you. You're listening to the news. You're listening to the haters, your ex, the crybabies, the critics. You're listening to the offended friend and the one with the bitter spirit. They know they got a bitter spirit. They're backslid. They're offended. They still can't get over it. It's been 25 years, but you're listening to them. You're listening to the conspiracy theorist. Oh, I'm coming. I can't get no help tonight, but that's all right. You're listening to the fearful people on your job. None of that is edifying. None of that is helping you be alive in Christ. None of those words speak life. In fact, none of those words bring joy in your heart. You walk away and you're like, yeah, this job is horrible. And yeah, the pastor didn't shake my hand. Don't matter. We got 200 people in two services. And by the second service, he's wiped out. But he didn't shake my hand. The devil is a liar. Come on, somebody. It's depressing to hear about some of the lifestyles of people that don't know the Lord.
Amen.
But we consume it and it gets into our minds and in the evil intentions of vengeance and strife in the homes. And if you're not careful, it'll contaminate your spirit and your mind and your attitude. And if you stay around it long enough, you'll find yourself becoming bitter and you find yourself becoming depressed and contentious and fearful. That's not being alive in Christ. That's not edifying to spiritual growth. In fact, if that's going to do anything, it's going to stunt your growth or you'll become spiritually dormant. And then we got to pray you through again. We need to be alive in Christ. We need to be, in fact, the Bible tells us in Acts 1 and 8, you shall receive power when the Holy Ghost falls upon you. When you look at that word power, it means dunamis. When you break down the word dunamis, it means dynamite, explosive. We ought to have an explosive fire of the Holy Ghost within us. That's what we ought to have, the fire of the Holy Ghost. Some of you on your jobs, your boss has to light a fire under you. Well, I come tonight to light a fire under you in the Holy Ghost. We got to be rooted and established in Him. Somebody say, alive in Christ. Look, things are upside down in our society. Global unrest. Kingdoms of this world being overturned. Inflation, uncertainty, crime. But I want to say something tonight. This is going to surprise some of you. Everybody take a deep breath. All right. Hope you brush your teeth. But listen, God has not given up His power. And He knows exactly where we are. And He knows exactly what He's doing. Even if we can't see it, He's still working things out for our good. So get rooted in the kingdom. Seek the kingdom first. Talk about the kingdom. Get excited about the kingdom. The Bible tells us that thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and thy dominion endureth throughout all generations. Psalmist tells us again in Psalm 145 and 11, they shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom and talk of thy power. When you are established and rooted in a relationship with God, you start looking at things from a kingdom perspective. You start looking at things from a kingdom mindset. I have people ask me recently since the preaching point and the branch work and things of that nature. Ask me, so, well, are you okay with this? How can I not be okay with this? This is what it's all about. God, I didn't leave a corporate job to come over here and just have 50 people and say, well, I'm going to do this till Jesus comes. If that's what God wants. But I come over here to set this Central Coast on fire for Jesus. It's about the kingdom. It's about the kingdom of God. Seek ye first the kingdom. I'm not in competition with anybody, especially the devil, because he's under my feet. He's a defeated foe. And greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I say the Central Coast for Jesus, baby. Colossians 3 and 2 says, set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. This will help you stay alive in Christ. Because you're not fixated on the cares of this world or the deceitfulness of sins. When you got your minds on Jesus, the lust of other things get choked out by your prayer life.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're going to have troubles, aches and pains. In fact, you and I will eventually reach an age that you will wake up with aches and pains. Can I get a witness? It's called life. But you don't quit living, right? You don't quit living for God with some aches and pains. I tell the team all the time, we're going to have some growing pains today, and because growing and church growth and leadership and where we're headed, it's growing pains. But we are rooted in Christ. We are called for a purpose, for such a time as this. And so we've got to make sure that we are rooted and built in him and established in the faith. That means we're stable in the faith, that we don't give up, but we're established in the faith. I'm going to live for God regardless if you want to live for God. You got to have that same attitude to tell your husband, hey, you may not want to live for God, but on Wednesday nights and Thursdays and Sundays, I'm going to be gone for about 90 minutes to 2 hours, and I'll come back. You can meet me at the restaurant, but I'm going to come back, and I'm going to worship the Lord. I'm taking the kids with me. I'm taking the grandkids with me because I'm rooted to this thing. I want to please God. Anybody want to please God? Hebrews 11 and 6 says, for without faith, it's impossible to please God. He that cometh to God must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. The truth of salvation is too precious to throw away. We need to love this thing. We need to make sure we're rooted to it. You can live for God in perilous times. We are going to have revival, and then we're going to have a great harvest in perilous times. Come on, somebody, because we're alive in Christ.
Amen.
Colossians 2 and 6 says, so walk in him. Walking in Christ. Let me tell somebody something tonight, that it is the will of God that you get saved, but it is also the will of God that you stay saved. Just saying. In John 15 and really 1 through, I don't know, through 9 or so, Jesus is talking about, John's writing about abiding. And there's something that really stood out to me. Somebody sent me something the other day, and in reading what they sent me, I grabbed on to John 15 and 15 and 2, I want to say, is what it is. And this is maybe preach or teach another time. But you as in a relationship with the Lord, we are to be bearing fruit.
Amen.
And in John 15 and 2, it says, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he purgeth away, or he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth, that it may bring forth more fruit. So when a tree is growing and producing fruit, the husbandman or some the farmer, for example, will prune that tree so that it could produce more fruit. But also, if a tree is not producing, then the farmer, the husbandman, will also prune the tree to help it produce fruit and to keep an eye on it. So I want to reiterate to somebody tonight that even if you're not producing fruit like you think you should, stay on the vine. Stay connected. Don't uproot and say, well, I'm going to go get planted somewhere else. Grow where you're planted. And if you're producing fruit and you're going through some stuff and you feel like, well, man, when can I catch a break? Can I tell you, he prunes you when you're producing fruit and he prunes you when you're not producing fruit. And in verse 4, he says, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. Amen. I am the vine. Notice this. Ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do anything. It's part of being alive in Christ. Amen. Dead things don't have any feeling. There's a reason why some people can sit in church and it could be bumping and they're sitting there and they're like, well, it's because they're spiritually dead. They can't feel the moving of the Holy Ghost because they're disconnected. God help us if we ever become spiritually dead when there's a move of the Holy Ghost. We ought to be so alive and say, you know what? You better not get too close to me because I may explode at any time because I'm alive in Christ. Somebody give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Reading the Word of God will prune and purge things out of your life. Notice Hebrews 4 and 12. For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper. I'm reading from Hebrews 4 and 12. Than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and the joints and marrow. Notice this. And it is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Somebody say, help us, Pastor.
Help us, Pastor.
It would do some folks a whole lot of good to shut the phone off and pick up your Bible. Yep. Oh, yeah, I said it. I'm coming for you. It is the will of God that you are forgiven.
Yep. Amen.
Nobody believes it's the will of God that you're forgiven.
Amen.
But it's also the will of God that we forgive.
Yep.
Ephesians tells us, Ephesians 4 and 32, be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. Listen, forgiveness is more about you than what they did or didn't do. Part of being alive in Christ is to emulate him. Jesus forgave and he forgives. And if we're going to be alive in Christ, we've got to forgive. Because when you're not forgiving, you're just holding on to stuff that the Lord never intended you to carry, and that'll keep you from receiving more from the Lord. Matthew 6 and 14, notice this, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Listen, the reason why some of you are not thriving, because it's because you're harboring unforgiveness in your heart. I don't know about it. I don't know why maybe you're holding on to that unforgiveness. And I may not know who it is and why. But God does. And it's hindering your spiritual growth. You can't move on. And you keep feeding your spiritual root system with the contamination of unforgiveness, and you're not growing in the Lord because you're mixing things that God never intended for you to mix with. Saints of God, if you're going to be alive in Christ, he's looking for a church and a people that has got their minds and their hearts focused on the Lord. So forgive them. If they never said sorry, say, you know what? I'm going to forgive them anyways. And it's too late in the end time to hold on and have a spirit of unforgiveness. Forgive them and move on. When you're rooted and you're built up in the Lord, we should be building. Building up the temple.
Yeah.
Building up the temple for the Lord.
Amen.
Not tearing down.
Right.
We shouldn't be tearing one another down.
No,
you are not in competition with one another.
Amen.
Come on, somebody.
Amen.
We're not trying to minimize one another.
Jesus.
A big you and a little me. Hey, I'm bigger than most of you, right? I'm a heavyweight. Hey, but guess what? When we serve the Lord, we're all on equal playing ground. We are all the children of the Lord. He calls us sons and daughters. So we need to be more like Jesus, have more characteristics that are Christ-like in our mannerisms, in our dispositions, in our personalities. That means that we don't continue to be the person that we were before we came to the Lord. No more cussing.
Amen.
Using profane words.
Yes.
Filthy communication. Text messages and emails and emoji. Hey, if we can't read them in church, you shouldn't be talking like that.
Right.
Colossians 3:8 says, but now ye also put off all these. Anger. Notice this. Wrath. I'm reading from Colossians 3:8. Malice. Blasphemy. Uh-oh. Filthy communication out of your mouth. Some of you remember this, where they would make you stand in the corner with a bar of soap in your mouth. Come on, somebody. Speak words of life. Speak words of hope. Speak words of blessings. And joy. Don't lie. Don't fib. Don't twist the truth.
Exactly.
Colossians tells us in Colossians 3:9, lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with these deeds.
Yeah.
Listen, lying is lying.
It is.
Don't do it. Ephesians 4:25. Is this okay tonight?
Amen.
Is this okay tonight?
Yes.
Ephesians 4:25 says, wherefore putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. We should be able to trust one another.
Yeah.
You know that one of the biggest problems we have in society, and I'm trying to come to a close. One of the biggest problems we have in society is we don't trust one another.
Exactly.
You go to other countries, they don't have fences. They don't lock their doors. Policemen don't carry guns. No. Big countries. We got to be able to trust one another.
Amen.
Trust takes a while to earn.
It does.
And it just takes a moment or an event to lose. So be mindful of that. But don't lie. When you're rooted and anchored to the Lord, he's not a liar.
Exactly.
God is not a man that he should lie. Don't be like the devil. The devil's a liar. And we get excited. And the devil is a liar. And he's the father of it. And I'm going to say it like that when I preach sometimes. But could I tell you, some of you acting like the devil because you're going around and you're lying. You're accusing. That's what the devil does, is he accuses and he lies. Hey, you need to tell some people, hey, in this home we don't lie. We don't watch movies about liars. We don't accuse people. We're not walking around living that way. That's not who we are. That's not what we do. And just for fun, somebody say, just for fun.
Just for fun.
Sister Lisa, come and bail these precious folks out tonight.
Amen.
Just for fun. Revelation 21:8. But the fearful. AV, Revelation 21:8. But the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable. There are things that are an abomination to the Lord, right? Lifestyles and clothing that's an abomination to the Lord, and murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and somebody say all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire, which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. When you break down that word, and you begin to look at all of that, when you have their part, that means that there's a section for these people.
Yep.
Yeah, they're going to all sit together. Wow. There's a section for them. Can I tell you, saints of God, a liar is in the same category as a murderer.
Yeah.
And a fearful person is in the same category as an abominable. We got to make sure that we don't become any of these things in our lifestyles, in our thinking, and in our words or mannerisms. But we got to do what Paul says in Ephesians 4 and 15, speaking the truth in love, that we can grow up into him in all things.
Amen.
I want to be alive in Christ.
Amen.
I want to walk in step with the Lord in my home.
Yeah.
Psalmist tells us in Psalm 19 and 12, who can understand his errors? Psalm 19 and 12. Cleanse thou me from secret faults. God knows. God knows. God knows the intentions of our hearts. This is why it's important that we are not hypocrites at home or on the job. The psalmist writes as we stand this evening. Psalm 101 and 2, I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. Oh, wilt thou come unto me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me.